clear up what was going on about what he actually said, and we played the comment in its entirety versus what was going on all over social media, because the teachers clearly were not happy. And I understand, but he didn't say exactly what they were saying. He sort of hinted at that.
Well, I don't know how many times you get up in front of the city council or other public bodies and give your speech before people just start tuning you out.
Well, they did in the election last time. So anyway, Paul, we'll see you next week.
Sounds
we're going to take
great.
A break for the news. Back with more right after this.
Get your news, weather, and sports now with the Now Decatur app, available for free for iTunes and Google Play. Only with Now Decatur and WSOY Decatur.
He's taking on the media again. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Trump again calling the press the enemy of the people. Fox's John Decker live at the White House.
The president on Twitter once again going after the media, writing what's going on at CNN is happening to different degrees at other networks, with NBC News being the worst. He continued, when Lester Holt got caught fudging my tape on Russia, they were hurt badly. The president didn't say what about the May 2017 interview was fudged. In that interview, the president said Russia was on his mind and that he was going to fire FBI Director James Comey regardless of the recommendation by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Dave?
John, the president also just tweeted he's very excited about Don McGahn's replacement as White House counsel, though he didn't say who that person is. Yesterday, he praised McGahn, who will leave in the fall.
Been here now, it'll be almost 2 years, and a lot of affection for Don.
The president also tweeted his daughter Ivanka did not push McGahn out, writing the media got that purposely wrong. And he added McGahn is not responsible for the president not firing Special Counsel Mueller or Attorney General Sessions. There will be another public goodbye to the late Senator John McCain today.
Hello, young man. I'm Doug. Nice to see you.
That's one of the senator's sons greeting people yesterday as thousands lined up to view McCain's casket lying in state of Arizona's capital. Today there will be a church service.
About 1,000 seats were available to members of the public for today's tribute at the North Phoenix Baptist Church, and they sold out quickly. McCain's body will then be taken to the airport and flown to Washington, D.C., where he will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol.
Lines Fox's Jessica Rosenthal in Phoenix. A U.S. soldier who kissed an ISIS flag has pleaded guilty to supporting the terror group. Sergeant First Class Akika Kang admitted in court in Hawaii he provided classified information and swore loyalty to the Islamic State, meeting with who he thought were ISIS members, but instead were undercover agents. Kang's expected to get 25 years in prison at sentencing in December. Fox News, fair and balanced.
It's the final days of the Ford Summer Sales Event. The last chance to find an incredible deal on the cars, trucks, and SUVs that make summer go right. Simply stop by a local Ford dealer or shop online at buyfordnow.com. Because the time to get behind the wheel of a new Ford during the Ford Summer Sales Event ends soon. And so do these amazing offers. The Ford Summer Sales Event is in its final days. That means it's the last chance to make summer go right with Ford, America's best-selling brand. Stop by your local Ford dealer and find great offers on many Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. With leading driver assist technologies, it's easy to see why Ford is the brand more drivers buy and buy again. Look for yourself. But hurry, the Ford Summer Sales Event ends September 4th, 2018. To find out more, head to buyfordnow.com or stop by your local Ford dealer. Best-selling claim based on 2017 calendar year sales.
WSOY News Time is 8:03. State Representative Bill Mitchell and Dan Calkins, the Republican nominee for state rep in the 101st District, are calling on Governor Rauner to enforce the federal work requirement for able-bodied adults without dependents who are receiving food stamp benefits. While the nation has largely recovered from the Great Recession of 2008-2009, Illinois' Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program enrollment has actually increased by nearly 250,000 since 2009. Illinois' unemployment rate in that year was 10.2%, whereas today it stands at 4.2%. Mitchell and Calkins were traveling the 101st District yesterday when Mitchell said since 2009, Illinois has annually applied for and received a federal waiver of the work requirement for able-bodied adults on food stamps. Illinois' economy is in a much stronger position today than it was at the height of the Great Recession. And despite pockets of persistently high unemployment, Illinois overall is basically at full employment. So why is the state still applying for the waiver? Able-bodied adults who do not have children should be working in order to receive taxpayer-funded benefits. In sports, it was the Cardinals falling to the Pittsburgh Pirates 2-0 last night. Mets over the Cubs 10-3, and the White Sox down the Yankees, 4-1. Cardinal baseball again tonight after a shortened edition of Sport Talk with Mark Tupper and Tim Kaine. Game time coming your way starting at 6:05. Your next news is up at the bottom of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Neuhoff Media, media made locally.
Did you know pharmacists count in ways you might not realize? In fact, your healthcare provider counts on your pharmacist as a medication expert to guard against those potential medication side effects. Local families count on us as reliable healthcare professionals for many of life's ailments. You can also count on our staff at Dale Southlake or Coley's Corner Drugs to be your one-stop shop for over-the-counter medications, CBD oil, and unique gifts for every occasion. Call us today for free delivery or medication questions at 217-330-9552 or 429-5165. We're friends helping friends.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Sorry. Today we got sunny skies. Highs near 79 degrees. Then for tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 64. For your Friday, 30% chance of showers, thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and highs near 85. And Saturday, partly sunny and highs around 87 degrees. It is around 68 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Your WSOY time, 8:06. Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Byers & Company. Coach stops by. We'll visit with Andrew Inniger, part of the Second City Group, and a little more tales from Chicago. It all starts right now.
Byers and Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. Coach sits down in his seat and promptly utters this phrase. You know, I used to do a lot of that improv back in the banking days. I said, you went to Second City? No. We just used to improv.
Improv? Is that something you can do in banking?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, they're the best.
Well, we were.
Now, come on, stop. What are you babbling about? I mean, there are times you think maybe you're off your meds.
I'm not mad.
Okay, I don't know who to respond to. Let's do this one at a time. There are times when it seems like you're off your meds. This is one of those.
No.
Like you're sort of in the conversation and you know that we were talking about improv.
Well,
time out.
Did you perform improv?
No.
Okay. I wanted a clarification.
I asked that before the break as well. So I am dealing with a little bit more heads up information than you are back in MCR, but it's a logical question, right? Now, I didn't have time for the third follow up question, which I will do now.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
We used to do that when we went to these banking conferences when they bring in specialists about improvisation.
Okay, you used to do role play.
True.
Okay,
we did that also.
Okay, so what is the difference in your mind between role play and improv?
Well, improv, you made it up as you went.
And role play?
We did some of the same thing.
Okay, so they would bring in a comedy group with a bunch of bankers, and they would have you do improvisational routines, exercises.
Yes.
Like what?
Oh, I don't
give
know.
Me an example.
Just to take
get ready to hold
like
on to your
80 years
take
ago.
A subject and speak on it. That's what I call improv.
Everything got real low. Usually in the 8 o'clock hour, it gets real high. I'm sorry about that. Maybe it's my hearing.
Might be.
Okay.
Maybe it's me.
I wasn't going to go low energy joke right off the bat, but since you brought it up, I don't understand. Do you really? Okay, improv would be like. Have you ever been to the Second City?
Yes.
Okay, so you've seen it like as an audience member.
Yes.
So the audience shouts out things, and then they do like their skits based around. Okay.
Right. Yep.
By the way, they're really tired of Trump being thrown out by the audience.
Oh God, I can imagine.
I can imagine.
That is
wow.
As a comedian.
But they said they're there. You know, that's the way it works. You know, they got to do.
I know. Yep.
All right. It's like Paul McCartney showing up, you got to do the Beatles stuff. I mean, you know, even though you don't want to, you got to go back and do the stuff people want. So I'm trying to just navigate in my small brain a room full of bankers doing improv. And I can't improv it. It just seems like one immovable force against another.
Wow.
Well, did you have some other false illusion of what bankers are thought of, like in general, when you think of like bankers or even accountants? I mean, the general stereotype
oh, I know.
Of
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of Do you know a lot of bankers that are just sort of loose and, you know, kind of...
Well, when you get them away from banking, yeah.
I'm not talking about back in the day of the six martini lunch. You guys were all lubricated. I'm talking about, well, okay, am I wrong?
I don't know. I never had a four martini lunch. So.
Did you have any martini lunch?
No.
Never in your banking career? Never. When did you break into banking?
66.
All right. I'm not buying that in 1966 there were not martini lunches going on.
There may have been, but I was not part of any of them.
Okay. I would not describe bankers, although we need them, and I'm not denigrating them. I'm saying they're very important and productive members of society.
Thank you.
But they are a different breed, and I would not put improv comedy and banker together.
Okay.
What was okay? I'll give you I'll give you a point of reference here. There was a guy who was here in town for a little bit and then had to leave, and he was working at one of the banks, and he did this photography art. That was on sale, and I bought one for Lindsay. What, I don't, was it your birthday or something?
Yeah.
And he found these great hubcap shots on these classic cars with, like, Decatur icons reflected in. Okay, that's not the story. The art was great, but the story was no one could believe there was a banker that was actually an artist.
Wow. Okay.
Is this a surprise to you?
I guess.
60 years in banking, you don't realize this is the way everybody else perceives bankers?
That's true. That's how you perceive bankers. I mean, that is.
I mean, when you hear banker artist, that makes sense to you? That resonates? How many, in all of your years of banking, how many fellow bankers did you know that were artists?
Probably none.
Okay. You act like I'm outlandish this.
I didn't think I was that much different. But...
Well, you're not. I mean, you haven't been a banker for how long?
But do you think that goes away?
No.
No, people that are drawn to
this. No, there's, everybody has, there's a stereotype for every career. I mean, like, you think of actuaries.
Okay,
like,
but there's a stereotype with a specific kind of career. Actuaries, bankers, accountants, they're all in that same stereotype.
Yes, they are.
And then there's the stereotype of the creative folks. And a lot of that's true, too. They can't be on time to save their lives.
Yeah,
they think 10 a.m. is an early meeting. They are completely, I mean, there are stereotypes on both sides.
Yeah.
You just don't normally get that right brain, left brain together at the same time.
Okay.
That's unusual.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay. So you did a room full, describe the scenario. I mean, not the actual exercise, but where did you go to have this meeting?
Kalamazoo was one.
Just known for its comedy.
Well, that was a home office.
The home office. Which bank would this have been?
First of America.
First of America. So yep. We're going to call in all of our guys. We're going to gather in Kalamazoo.
They did.
Hotel?
At Kellogg's, whatever that place was up there where Kellogg's had that estate out in the. Was a huge estate.
Okay. Kellogg's?
Yep.
Kellogg.
Kellogg
what?
Foods.
Oh, okay. Well, you made it sound like we all knew what that was.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This would have been circa...
Late 80s, early 90s. Early 90s, probably.
Early 90s.
Yeah. Okay.
Late in your career. When did you retire?
2003.
Okay.
Well, this would have been around the time that this was really starting to pick up as a corporate idea of doing this kind of thing. So it's possible because if you do
and
remember...
And in 92, where were you?
I was in... Going into high school?
Okay. So you're familiar with this?
And the reason why I know that is because the British show, the improv show, was just coming over to the United States and was wildly popular. Whose line is it anyway?
Right. And then it turned into, there was an American version.
Yes,
that,
exactly. But it was a British show first, and it was becoming very popular, and it was that it kind of started, and then it came over to the U.S. And so that, timing-wise.
Okay, I would say that was people probably... taking advantage of a big thing that was going on and going, how do we make money
exactly.
out of this? We'll get a bunch of bankers because they don't know any
better.
I
wouldn't disagree with that either.
Exactly. I think it's possible.
I don't disagree with that either.
I would put the Second City like a whole other level. I mean, this goes back to 1959, and you look at all the alums that have gone through this, and they figured out, hey, we can use this to help other people learn about themselves and their management or whatever. So they do work with, like, pharmaceutical companies, law firms, and I, the whole time they were describing this, I was just trying to think, what does a room full of lawyers feel like in this scenario?
Or a room full of bankers.
Or a room full of bankers. Now, I don't think that's necessarily an obnoxious stereotype.
Yep.
I think it's rooted, like all stereotypes, in some sort of truth, but then exaggerated. I'm sure that there are bankers out there that have different interests or are artists. I would assume, though, that most people that get drawn into a career, whether you're an engineer, and I think you could probably put that in a whole category by itself, or a banker or an accountant or an actuarial, generally the numbers people aren't thought of as the creative people.
Okay.
Now, you've never... How is this all coming to a surprise to you after spending your entire life in banking?
I don't know if it's...
Generally, I mean, there is something to the right brain, left brain kind of thing with numbers that tends to be somebody that maybe doesn't have a sense of humor.
He's looking at me like he's never heard this before.
I know.
That's not true. I've heard it.
You just chose to believe they were all lying?
No. Just chose to believe I wasn't one of them.
Denial. That is also.
By the way.
It's the longest river in South America.
It's actually not in South America.
I know.
Where did this show go? This is what happens when I take a couple of days off. By the way, whose line is it anyway? The guy who was, you think about like who was sort of discovered on that show or who was a breakout star of that show? Wayne Brady.
Yeah.
Wayne Brady was in Colony that they canceled. You thought he was a bad guy. Turned out to be a good guy. But now you don't have any idea. Just done. Season cliffhanger and all. And I finished my 4 seasons of Power, by the way. 5th season was just out on Stars. How do I get that? I guess I can go back on demand and watch that, right?
Yeah, you should be able to.
Oh, is it getting good?
You're funny.
Fitty is now kind of a good guy. What?
That kind of follows the arc of his life, doesn't it?
It does. he's the executive producer of that show. So now you got Tommy and Ghost, and now you got Fitty and the Italians, because Tommy found out who his dad was. Okay. Thought his dad was dead.
You know what?
What?
I don't know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's 4 seasons. I mean, what is the shelf life on, like, cliffhangers or plot reveals or... come on. How long do you hold that in a day and age of on-demand entertainment?
I'm not saying I'm going to watch it. I'm just saying for anybody that is or wants to, as you've been promoting
it...
You can
see this stuff a mile away. It's not like it's Shakespeare. All right. So, whose line is it anyway? Getting to its popularity, and that would have been, the original was 1988 to 1999, by the way. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that was the broadcast in the United Kingdom.
Yes.
98 to 2007 was when the show, and it was hosted by Drew Carey,
right.
Was when it was on ABC and ABC Family. So that would have been, 92 would have been a little ahead of the curve here in America. But... At one point, didn't comedy clubs sort of explode all
over
America?
They really did, around that time. It was very popular.
And then, then that's all disappeared,
open
basically,
open mic times, like really trying to like find the new talent. There was kind of a, And I don't know what it was about that suddenly everybody wanted to get into comedy.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy the show?
Whose Line Is It Anyway? Yes, very much. But I was kind of a theater geek, so we did a lot of that stuff.
All right, so you probably would have had a lot of fun on Tuesday with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I learned quickly that it's not about trying to be the funniest person in the room. It's more about listening.
Listening and thinking quick.
Not even thinking quick. Being supportive of the person that you're...
And kind of seeing where it's going without actually knowing. Yeah.
And if you try to think 3 steps ahead, somebody will screw up the second step.
Yep.
Not they screwed it up, but it will get hijacked. So we had a lot of fun on Tuesday.
Good.
Yeah. From the actual pros.
That sounds like...
You ever been to a performance there? I'm amazed. It's been 20 plus years since I've been there, and they now own all of that. That whole thing. There used to be movie theaters. It's all
really?
Second City. Yes. Pretty amazing. And then if you walk down that hallway of the black and white photographs, there's several hallways, but the alum list is absolutely staggering.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. People that you don't even realize were part of Second City.
I didn't know
Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers was through there. Steve Carell, Tina Fey, Mike Myers, even the new guys, Keegan Michael Kay, Jordan Peele, those new, all alum, John Candy, Dan Aykroyd.
A lot of those Saturday
Lynch,
Night Live people came out of Second City.
John Belushi, did you get that when I mentioned Chris?
Tina Fey.
Yeah, Tina Fey, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Shelley Long, Martin Short, Bill Murray. So there's a whole kind of Canadian contingency and an American contingency. Yeah. Fred Willard, you go back a few days. Jerry Stiller.
Oh, yeah.
So
And I'd be interested to know when he kind of started in comedy.
Jerry Stiller was back in, literally on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1948.
Yeah.
So they were kind of in the 1960s, and the Second City opened in 1959. But you've got Catherine O'Hare, who's,
brilliant.
She really was. It's too bad she kind of got stereotyped as the mom in Home Alone or whatever. You know, I mean, she was a funny.
She really, really was.
Bonnie Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Arkin. Think about some of the folks that you don't, I mean, the Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Belushi thing's easy to connect to, but through the whole, Valerie Harper, Rhoda was, do you know Rhoda?
I do.
Okay, you kind of had a coach look there for
me. No, I know who you're talking about.
You know, she was the friend of Mary Tyler Moore that ended up doing the spinoff series with Rhoda. Gilda Radner.
Yes.
I mean, was there, man. Chris Farley. Ed Asner. Peter Boyle. I love Peter Boyle. Peter Boyle was brilliant in a very little-known movie called Where the Buffalo Roam, where Bill Murray played Hunter S. Thompson. And Peter Boyle played Laszlo, the famous attorney that was legal representation was written about in a lot of Hunter S. Thompson.
And had no business being anyone's power of attorney.
Yeah, no kidding. So you go through the list, and it's just absolutely amazing. So we were there on Tuesday. A lot of fun. I'm not a big Chicago fan, and I find myself being less of a Chicago fan every time I go to Chicago. You like the big city, right?
I like, yeah.
What is it about the big city that you like?
Just things to do. I mean, just keeps going and on and on.
It's too much. I mean, I
don't like the traffic, though. I can't.
Okay, well, you don't get one without the other.
Oh, I know anymore. Wow.
Well, no, ever. I mean,
unbelievable up there.
Yeah. I was looking at, like, I get you want things to do. But, like, at every table inside the Second City, like, there were flyers and brochures for just plays and comedy acts. You couldn't see all of them if you went out every night for the next 2 years.
That's true.
And it's there's like something much. For every. Oh, I don't mind that. I mean, there's just because there's something for everybody. I mean, literally, there is something for everyone.
Okay, but I feel like we have got something for everyone here and no traffic. It's the trade-off.
Yeah, I would.
It's the trade-off.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I love Millennium Park, but yeah.
Okay, what is it about Millennium Park that?
Well, and here's the funny thing. I have a bigger appreciation for our sculpture garden thanks to that park, and they have a great sculpture garden there.
Yeah.
And I really see how lucky Decatur is to have such an amazing thing.
I said millennial. I apologize. That was a word that's being used to Millennium Park. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have a great sculpture garden, sculpture park, if you will, and ones that have like water features, which is really cool because they're kind of interactive, where families like play in them in the summer and things like that. It's kind of like a pool. All the city people come and play and put the kids in the fountain, and literally that's what they do. There's a big amphitheater that's Frank Gehry designed.
The pavilion?
Yeah, open air kind of amphitheater thing, pavilion.
The Jay Pritzker Pavilion? That's literally what it's called.
I know.
With that, they've got, I mean, you know, on the weekends, they have like now, Zumba.
It's a great park.
A thousand people there.
Let's go back. The planning for that park began in 1997. Construction began in 1998. Right? It opened in 2004, 4 years behind schedule. I mean, it is almost...
It's Chicago.
Yes.
It's totally Chicago. I'm not going to lie. I'm sure there were tons of cost overruns and everything else, but I think it's great. I love, I love Skygate, which is also known as the Bean.
Yeah. The Bean is probably the most photographed thing in the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
Would you not
imagine? And I love the Bean. Yeah. I think it's a great piece. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's called Cloudgate.
Is that what it's called? Cloudgate. Yes, it is. I would put our permanent piece.
Oh, against, yes.
I think it could be in Millennium Park.
I think it absolutely could.
The Aaron McIntosh piece?
Yes, it definitely could.
Learning curve?
And it would totally make sense.
Am I completely biased on that, or am I wrong?
When I first saw it, I thought the same thing. It does look like something that would belong there and people would flock to.
Okay.
You know, Christmas time, I love that park because there's like the big trees.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
If you just kind of close your eyes and look out one, like sort of sideways, I mean, yeah, Chicago's unbelievable. But you don't get all that without all the rest of it.
That's true. It's give and take.
I mean, I can fly anywhere in the world out of O'Hare. It doesn't mean O'Hare is a pleasant experience.
No, it's not.
I can get to the most unbelievable destinations on earth, but I got to go through O'Hare to do it.
Yes.
And you don't get it you get it and you get it. And that's the way it is. Some people, I get when you're 18, 19 years old, the way you wanted to go to San Francisco and like see and tackle the great big bad world. I get those feelings when you're young for sort of longing for something bigger, more spectacular. Man, the older I get, I don't have any of that left.
Yeah, I understand that completely.
Not that it's not like I've given up.
No.
I just don't, it just the downside so far outweighs the upside in my mind. Is that, man, I sound like Coach. Are we just two old farts sitting in here right now? Literally?
A little bit. Not going to lie.
Okay. Well, I noticed you came home from the big bad city.
I know.
You didn't stay.
Like I said, I'm more at my age now at the pace of like, this would be my metropolitan area. Like, I could live in our downtown, but beyond that,
I just, like, I get up in the morning. It takes me way too long to drive from Mount Zion to here.
Would you rather move back downtown?
I'm just saying, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And driving in and out of Chicago, I just, it just reinforces that.
Yeah, you could be using an hour and a half just to get to work and back.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No, I agree. No.
All right, here's
I don't miss that.
Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today we've got mostly sunny skies, highs near 80 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 64. For your Friday, 30% chance of seeing some showers, mostly cloudy and highs near 85. And Saturday, partly sunny, highs near 87. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 68 degrees.
While the temps heat up this summer, so do the events.
It's hot!
Newhoff Media and Limitless Decatur in Macon County have compiled the ultimate to-do list, bringing you the hot 25 events in the greater Decatur area to attend this summer. Driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any hotter.
It's hot, Bob!
It's hot, Bob!
It's hot, Bob!
At Bob Brady Jeep, the deals are sizzling. Grab a 2018 Wrangler Sport JK 4x4 on the lot and ready to roll. Lease it for just $299 a month, or you can buy the Wrangler JK for only $32,995. Hot enough for you?
It's hot, Bob!
It's hot, Bob!
It's hot, Bob!
And don't miss this summer's Hot 25, brought to you by the Bob Brady Auto Group.
Be sure to hit this week's Hot 25 events. The Amish Cheese Festival in Arthur and the Labor Day Pops Concert in Decatur. Check out the full list of Hot 25 events on nowdecatur.com. Driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group.
One in six people in America go hungry every day. But fortunately, there's something you can do to help. Come by Hickory Point Bank's event in Central Park benefiting the WSOY Food Drive on Wednesday, September 12th from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Stop by in the morning and grab a coffee from Blue Brew, or at lunchtime, grab a famous beach house meal with a portion of the proceeds going directly to the food drive. Drop off canned goods or make a donation. The need is large, but you can help. Wednesday, September 12th, Central Park. Hickory Point Bank invested.
I'm Chris Thompson, lieutenant with the Macon County Sheriff's Office and lifelong resident of Macon County, and I support Jim Root for sheriff. Jim is the best candidate in the upcoming election for sheriff. Jim is an honest, hardworking man of integrity, morals, and good character. Jim is the no-nonsense, get-things-done candidate, which is exactly what is needed in a sheriff. Do not be fooled by false promises and fancy wordsmithing. Do not let the state Democratic machine influence your vote and this election with their money. On November 6th, I am asking for you to join me by voting for Jim Root for sheriff.
Paid for by Jim Root for Sheriff Committee.
There's a secret ingredient to a healthier life, one that's available right here, and that's your local pharmacy staff. Our pharmacy staff at Dale Southlake and Coley's Corner are your medication experts. We're professionals who understand that dispensing our knowledge about your prescriptions are just as important as the medication itself. Buying local keeps more money here, not in a big box CEO's pocket out of town. Stop in Dale Southlake Pharmacy or Coley's Corner Drugs today, or call 429-5165 for free delivery. We're friends helping friends.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Yeah, freedom of speech is under threat everywhere, and we see where the ACLU is deciding to put their considerable muscle and effort. They're going to take on panhandling laws. We'll get into that, what it means for Decatur. Here in just a couple of minutes, and we'll talk to one of the two facilitators we had at the Second City, Andrew Inniger, who was in Los Angeles. He flew into Chicago for our training, and it was so much fun. I wanted to share it with all of our audience, you know, but mainly our folks in corporate and business out there that may be thinking about a new way to sort of have fun with your retreat or your sort of company training or team bonding. This is a fun way to do it, and I found it to be incredibly insightful into human nature. We'll get to that with Andy here in just a little bit. Right now, Jeff Daly is standing by diligently, and I mean diligently. It's like after that John Phillips conversation, he's all over it. Standing by with your news. And if you missed that intergovernmental broadcast, by the way, full podcast is available at nowdecatur.com. You can get it there, and you can hear for yourself exactly what was said and what wasn't said. Anyway, Jeff's got your news. Back with more right after this.
WSOY News Time 8:29. The annual Dine United Fall fundraiser for the United Way of Decatur in Mid-Illinois kicks off next week, and it runs throughout the month of October as well. Each Wednesday, select local restaurants will donate a percentage of all lunch sales between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. to this year's United Way campaign. Dine United began in 2013. It provides an opportunity to support locally owned restaurants and the United Way simultaneously. The fundraiser generates more than $3,000 each year. This year's participating Decatur restaurants include Taproot, University Dogs, and Richland Community College's Bistro 537, but that's on Tuesdays only. You can find a full list of participating restaurants at nowdecatur.com. Participants are also encouraged to share their Dine United experience with photos of their meals on social media using the hashtags Dine United and hashtag Live United. If you need more information, give the United Way a call at 422-8537. More news after Fox News at 8:30.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump tweets, CNN's hatred and extreme bias has clouded their thinking and made them unable to function. He also calls reporter Carl Bernstein a degenerate fool. CNN is standing by its story that the president knew in advance about a 2016 meeting with Russians at Trump Tower.
CNN sent out a tweet of their own. They said this, quote, "Make no mistake, Mr. President, CNN does not lie. We report the news and we report when people in power tell lies." CNN.
WSOY News Time is 8:31. New research says learning disabilities and other special education needs are common in children that are born with opioid-related symptoms from their mother's prenatal drug. It's the first big U.S. study to examine potential long-term learning difficulties in the kids. It involves about 7,200 Medicaid children aged 3 to 8 years old. 1 in 7 opioid-affected kids required special classroom services for problems, including developmental delays and speech or language difficulties, compared with about 1 in 10 children not exposed to opioids before birth. Results were published today in Pediatrics. Affected kids had newborn abstinence syndrome. It involves tremors, fussiness, and other signs that can last for weeks after birth. About 1 U.S. infant is born with a condition at least every 25 minutes, and the numbers have tripled since 2008. Pittsburgh Pirates right-hander Trevor Williams surrendered a walk and a double to the first two St. Louis hitters he faced. Then the hottest pitcher in the National League bounced back, settled down from that rough start to record 6 strong innings. Starling Marte had an RBI single in the 6th, Pirates over the Cardinals 2-0. Todd Frazier hit a grand slam and drove in season-high 5 runs to lead the Mets to a 10-3 win over the Chicago Cubs. And Ryan Lamar homered and drove in a career-best 4 runs. And the Yankees, fell to the Chicago White Sox 4-1. Cardinal baseball tonight on WSOY, Game 3 between the Redbirds and the Pirates. We'll have that for you after a shortened edition of Sport Talk with Mark Tupper and Tim Kaine from 5 until 6. More news comes your way at 9 o'clock. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Neuhoff Media, media made locally.
If your dream house includes a 4-bay garage with hydraulic in-ground lifts, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. That's because CarQuest Auto Parts is for those who really know and care about their car. Visit your local CarQuest Auto Parts store at Donnelly Automotive. They have the expertise, parts, and tools needed to get you back on the road. Visit Donnelly's at 1288 East El Dorado or give them a call at 428-7414. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
Fall is in the air, and that means it's time for high school sports. If you need to get outfitted with the best gear, come to Played Against Sports in Decatur. Located in Brentwood Village, Played Against Sports has served the Decatur area for over 25 years. Whether you're playing football, volleyball, golf, or soccer, Played Against Sports has what you need to have your best season. Looking to sell some used sports equipment? Played Against Sports will buy it. Visit PlayedAgainSportsDecaturIL.com to learn more. Played Against Sports. Everybody plays.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today we got a little bit of patchy fog this morning. That's going to burn off. We're supposed to have mostly sunny skies today and highs near 79 degrees for tonight. Partly cloudy, lows around 64. For your Friday, 30% chance of showers, thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and highs near 85. And Saturday, partly sunny, highs near 87 degrees. It is 67 degrees right now in downtown Decatur.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. August 30th, almost to the end of the month. Right now is the time we head to Benjamin F. Edwards, Jamie Bruner, who is standing by. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Brian. The popular averages closed higher again on Wednesday, and the Dow was up 60 points to 26,124. Both the S&P 500 and NASDAQ Composite ended the session at new all-time highs for a fourth straight day. In economic news, second quarter gross domestic product growth was revised upward to a 4.2% annual rate, above the prior estimate of 4.1% and exceeding the consensus expectation of 4%. Growth. European markets were lower today, with the London FTSE down 0.56%, while the DAX in Frankfurt was off 0.52%. The Nikkei in Tokyo was up 0.09%. The 10-year U.S. Treasury note was up 2/32, yielding 2.878%. Gold futures were down $1.10 at $1,210.40. Crude oil futures were up 49 cents at $70.01 a barrel. Right now, the Dow is trading at 26,070, a negative 53 points, ADM at 5034, Ameren 6364, Caterpillar 14036, Norfolk Southern 17448, PPG 11069, Tate & Lyle 3486, and Mueller Water 1179. And now I quote novelist Erica Jong. You take your life in your own hands, and what happens? A terrible thing. No one to blame. This is Jamie Bruner with Benjamin F. Edwards & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Thank you, Jamie. As always, we appreciate it. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. We're live in the Palatial Studios in downtown Decatur. Back in action after a couple of days off, at least I was off. Jeff and Lindsay were here with Kevin. Did you guys break any other news? I know the mayor announced she was running for re-election, Thursday of last week?
Yep.
Friday of last week?
Thursday or Friday when we weren't here.
I got a chance to come in and do the show Monday, then immediately had to duck out to go to Chicago for a couple of days, back in today and tomorrow, and then we've got a three-day weekend because it's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
But part of our Hot 25.
Indeed. We got two events this
weekend.
Yes,
not one, but two. Count them. We're going to be at the Cheese Festival. We got to look at the weather to see, right? I mean, it's a three-day event, so we can kind of pick the day that looks
exactly.
The nicest.
Yeah.
But then the big concert is Monday at 6 o'clock, and they're under the pavilion there at Hickory Point Golf Club, so it's going to rain or shine, be a good show.
And that's a very popular event. A lot of people come out to that.
Well, tens of thousands of people go to Arthur for the Cheese Festival, so we'll be there this weekend and at the Labor Day Pops concert with the Decatur Milliken Symphony Orchestra. The Hot 25. What are we picking up this week? I'm getting rid of the Charger. I've had the Charger for like 3 weeks.
Challenger.
Still calling it the wrong
thing.
I don't. Why do I have that in my head?
I don't know.
I believe, and I don't know because I know that we were talking about it. I think you're getting a Jeep Trailhawk, which frankly.
A Jeep what?
Trailhawk.
I don't know what a Trailhawk is.
It's a specialized Jeep, but what I'm saying is you think that this Challenger is exciting?
Mm-hmm. Well, this summer, the Bob Brady Auto Group, Newhoff Media, and Limitless Decatur giving you the Hot 25, list of 25 hottest things to do and see in Central Illinois. Make sure to follow Now Decatur on Facebook all summer long as we check out those events. And awesome vehicles provided by the Bob Brady Auto Group, Bob Brady Cadillac, Buick GMC. Better yet, come out and join us, snag some It's Hot Bob swag, and we'll be wrapping things up with our Hot 25, not this weekend, but next. These are our last two of our last three events. So we will literally be in Arthur at the Cheese Festival, where it's all about the cheese.
And giving away cheese.
Labor Day Pops concert. And then we head to Arcola for the Broom Corn Festival, September 7th through the 9th.
Did you hear me? They give away cheese.
It's all about cheese.
Oh, my gosh.
Amish cheese is...
It's good.
Yeah, it is. So we'll, what are we going to do then? It's the Hot 25.
Hard to believe that you've gone through 25 events so quick.
It started June 1st.
I know.
It is. It's crazy. And, you know, we thought, oh, wow, that's a lot. That'll, you know, nope. It's just you blink and it's.
I know.
That's the summer. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
I bet there's something to do.
We have the, this thing's a beast on the highway. I got to just tell you. It is so much fun to drive. And this plum crazy color, the throwback 1970 Dodge Challenger, you can find it online, Google it. It had a little bit more of a longer hood and the round headlights. This is just, it just screams 1970s muscle car. With all the modern day tech and convenience and safety. It's hard to keep it
It's a cool-looking car.
It is a cool-looking car. It's hard to keep that thing 10, 20 miles over the speed limit.
Well, then you just
wait. A speeding ticket just sitting there.
Huh?
One of those.
There is something to
actually,
that.
Actually, didn't this happen?
I didn't get a ticket.
You didn't get a ticket.
In my defense.
I don't think you were. It's not like you
if
were.
If I might. I was on, what is the road that runs to Bob Brady? Is that 48?
48, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 48.
All right. If you take 48 to, like, let's say Pershing, I never know what speed limit that is there.
Okay.
I mean, because you feel like you're on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And you are technically.
Yeah.
But then I think there's some speed changes, right?
Right.
And so I didn't even see, it was a Maine County Sheriff's deputy. Very nice man. I didn't see him until I saw the lights in my mirror. Evidently I passed him.
Going a little.
Hang on. Let me get to the story. I'm going to give you the raw, unedited version of this. I thought he was coming behind me, like, for me to get out of the way.
Right.
Because I didn't think I was doing anything
wrong.
You know when you get, like, when you pass a cop and you go, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I didn't have that feeling at all. I just thought, I'm in his way.
Yeah.
I got to get over. So I pulled over to the left. There was like a left-hand turn kind of lane, you know, thing over there. Because I wasn't thinking he was pulling me over. I thought I needed to get out of his way. But, he pulled over with me.
Right behind you, huh?
And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I would have pulled over to the right. I didn't know where you wanted me to go. I thought I was just getting out of your way. And he said I was going almost 10 miles over the speed limit, which I thought.
Almost?
I felt like saying, do you know how hard it is to just go almost 10 miles over the speed limit in this thing? But I am very respectful to members of law enforcement.
Absolutely.
And he couldn't have been nicer. And more professional and polite. He was a sheriff's deputy I was not familiar with. I know a lot of the folks in law enforcement. I don't know that I'd ever met him before. And he said, well, I'm sure everything will check out, but I need your drivers. And so I got to get out like the three insurance cards because I got the one that's expiring in August, the one that's new in August, and the Bob Brady one. There you go. Everything was in order. And he let me off with a warning, which I thought was very nice.
That was very nice.
But I kind of also think almost 10, that's warning level, right? I mean,
that's not
excessive, is it?
No.
And I really didn't think I was.
And then I think there's a difference between, like, where you're at. I mean, if you're in a school zone going almost 10 over, that's a different story.
True.
Right.
But when you're on a four-lane.
Yes.
I don't like those. One of the things I like in the new cars, and it's sporadic to how well it works, and I'm sure they're working out the kinks, is it will give you the speed limit in your dash next to your speedometer.
Right.
I like that because there are places, like going to Bloomington Airport, if you go the back way, that thing is just set up to be a speed trap.
Yep.
Because it goes 30, 45, 30, mm-hmm. 45, 30, mm-hmm. 40, and you never know what the speed limit is.
No, and sometimes it's just like random. Like there's no rhyme or reason why they just suddenly changed.
Well, that's because that's where the cop sits.
Yes.
So I was, my bad, would never, you know. But it is, it's a fast car.
It's tough.
And it sounds so good the faster you go.
You haven't been over the speed limit on the interstate, have you?
No. It is a smooth ride, though. But we'll get into that, and we'll get the next vehicle. I can't wait. Go pick it up today. So we'll be taking that out as part of our Hot 25. We'll get back on the other side of the break. We're going to visit with Andrew, or Andy, as we knew him on Tuesday. And I want people to realize that this is out there and available. Man, companies plan a lot of really lame retreats or, you know, get-togethers, off-site sort of locations where you do some team building. This one was fun. We'll take a quick Marquee Coffee break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Tickets are now available for the Robin Vogel Memorial Dinner, Friday, September 28th at 6 p.m. at the Decatur Club. The event honors fallen Decatur police officer Robin Vogel and helps to fund the Robin Vogel Memorial Scholarship Program. The evening will include dinner and an opportunity to hear from TV personality Tommy Lahren, sharing her support for law enforcement. Tickets are $50 each or $80 for a couple, but only a limited number of tickets are available. Tickets can be purchased at Newhoff Media, located at 250 North Water Street in downtown Decatur. For more information, visit Now Decatur.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Buying a new grill from a big warehouse is like trying to start your old grill. You can end up standing around by yourself and nothing happens. Not at Ace.
We've got an exclusive lineup of premium brands, plus premium service to make sure you get the right grill. That's why grilling starts at Ace.
Thanks for making Kenny's Ace your local place for paint and more. We're proud to be part of the Decatur community. Stop by Kenny's Ace, a local business where you can count on getting great help.
I'm Jim Root. I'm running for Macon County Sheriff. As a sheriff, I'll be responsible with your tax dollars and be accountable to you. I will run a transparent office and maintain a department with the same values and ethics that I possess. I will ruthlessly go after criminals and drug dealers. I will provide a high level of service to the community. Please talk to the people you know at our department. I am supported by many command officers, deputies, and correctional officers. Find out more by going to JimRootForSheriff.com and please vote Jim Root, November 6th. Paid for by Jim Root for Sheriff Committee.
Podcasts are not just a novelty. Thanks to smartphones and tablets, they are a way of life. Did you know that in the last month, almost a quarter of Americans have listened to their favorite podcasts? With the Now Decatur app, you can check out our most popular podcast from Byers & Company, sponsored by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry. You can catch full hourly podcasts from Byers & Company, interviews with your favorite guests, and digital exclusives from Byers & Company you can only catch with our podcasts, brought to you by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. So check out the latest Byers & Company podcasts when you download the Now Decatur app, and you do it today.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Thursday. Spent the last couple of days in Chicago, including an unbelievable Tuesday at the Second City, and we asked Andy... I'm sorry, Andy, your business card is so professional. It's Andrew. After calling you Andy for an entire 8 hours, it seems very stiff. We wanted you to come on because I was completely unaware that the Second City had this sort of thing with, you know, corporate America and business America and this type of training. We're all familiar with the great history of the program itself and the incredible list of alums which have gone through this great product. But I want to get to the why you were there and why we were there. But let's just talk about 1959, this thing is founded. I mean, is this the longest running improv group in America?
It is. Yeah, we can lay claim to that.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. What's it feel like to be on that list? I didn't realize Peter Boyle, who's one of my all-time favorite actors, was an alum. But if you look at the number of people that have gone through this, it must be an amazing feeling just to be on that list of great comics and movie actors and performers and entertainers over the last, 50 years.
Yeah, I was actually around the building a lot during the 50th anniversary, and that was just an amazing time to see people coming back and just really be aware of the history. I mean, to see Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell come back and do original material they had done on those stages was absolutely incredible.
All right. Well, you are literally a playwright, an actor, and a director. Andy Inninger is our guest, and you were one of the people facilitating our group. When did this start as far as, corporate training? That sounds very boring, retreat, whatever people call it, but they get their folks off campus. They get them somewhere where they're out of their comfort zone. We've done a lot of this over the years, and we're in the broadcast business, so, the programming side of things are not generally shy about getting up in front of people, but I found the day just thoroughly entertaining and insightful, and one of the better things we've done as a company. When did all of this start?
It really grew out of just noticing that a lot of our students in the training center that were coming to take classes in improvisation weren't actually there to become the next Tina Fey. They were coming in to learn skills they would take back to their jobs. And Second City is no dummy. We can sniff an opportunity. So we really turned to that market first for entertainment. We were being asked to do, kind of in parallel about 20 years ago, a lot of custom entertainment, like take out the politics, take out anything that would be questionable, and do your material for our corporate event, or write material that's completely customized. And then along with that, we would sometimes be asked to do a workshop, teach our employees how to improvise. And we really realized that the more that we use those as techniques, but really focused on their challenges, it was actually really quite effective. It took people out of their comfort zone. It was challenging, and the connections to things like being able to present more confidently or be more self-aware or more aware of another person, those translate really directly.
Yeah, and okay, now you Beth's not here. You're not on the payroll anymore. I want an honest assessment of what you thought of our group.
Of you personally?
No, just the group as a whole.
Well, there's something that's kind of quite striking. I find that you really get a sense of a group. And one of the themes in this group that came out was the willingness to be direct communicators. And I think that that's a lot of groups struggle. We actually hear groups that say, like, everyone here is too nice, no one will say the truth, and that can be a poison. That wasn't the case in this group. This group was already really strong about being able to be very direct, and now it's about tempering that with some of that empathy and just being able to shift the style and tone. I was really struck by people's self-awareness and saying, you know, I have kind of one route that's pretty comfortable for me. This is uncomfortable. And then coming to the end and being able to say, wow, I can see other ways of approaching conversations could be really useful. So that just that openness and willingness is pretty amazing. Not everyone has it, and not every organization has it either.
All right, you guys talked about doing this in front of like pharmaceutical companies and lawyers. Is there anything more painful than trying to do improv comedy with a room full of lawyers?
They're actually pretty fun, I have to say. I mean, certainly there are some crowds that are tougher than others. And we always say that it's not the crowd, it's us. It's our responsibility to connect with them. Although there are some jerky crowds, to be sure. Lawyers are funny especially when you're doing the exercises with them. For performance, they're typically great. They can let their hair down. But when they're being taken through exercises, they love to analyze everything. We just have learned to program fewer activities because we know that everything's going to be cross-examined.
There you go. All right. Most folks, public speaking, you know, tops the list of fears, right? It doesn't make any rational sense that you'd be less afraid of dying than speaking publicly, but yet we find that's most of the general public. What is it like to be on stage in front of a raucous crowd and literally be fighting for your life?
Oh, boy. I've been there many times. It's funny. I almost feel, I think we mentioned in the session that a lot of improvisers are actually introverts. So we're naturally the people that need to recharge on our own. But I think that it's the strength of a lot of years of training. So it's just that years of training, years of practicing it, years of being up in front of people that gives us that power to thrive in the moment in front of that huge crowd. So now I walk in front of a big crowd, and it's not terror, maybe terror in the moments before I go out there. But when I'm out there in front of them, I really feed off of that energy. And I just thrive on the fact that I have to win them. I'm not going to get their respect immediately. I have to earn that respect every single moment that I'm speaking. And a lot of that comes from respecting them first. I think with those lessons in place, I'm a lot more confident out there. Yeah. And there's always the feeling that it could go awry any minute.
Yeah.
Sometimes does.
All right. Mike Holvey loves the sports analogies, but I've always thought of sort of stand-ups or improv folks as being like a guy at the plate, right, facing Nolan Ryan, and all you're doing is trying to hit foul balls till you finally get the wood on one, right? I mean, there's that sense of you against the room, and I can't tell you how many comedians I've interviewed over the years that they want to win. I mean, it's a competition, and somebody's going to close that deal, and it's either going to be you or the audience.
it's really funny. I've never thought of the audience as kind of – as it being a battle between me and the audience. One of the things that I get to do in my sideline pursuits is solo improv, where it's just me up in front of the audience. So much like a stand-up, but it's all improvised and it's characters and scenarios, like what Second City would do. And there I very much see the audience as my collaborator. They're my partner on stage. Like, I'm constantly listening and seeing what they're doing and adapting. I'll often talk to a person in the audience. And even if you really analyze stand-up, a stand-up can't make fun of the audience or kind of like shift their status or power with an audience until after they've shown that they're willing to play the fool. They have to fall before they can make fun of the audience, whether that's being self-deprecating in a slight way, making fun of themselves, showing this sort of sense of self-awareness and that they're willing to be the butt of the joke. Then they can flip that on the audience and do that to them too.
All right, is there a difference between playing a crowd in Chicago versus an NCL cruise ship versus Amsterdam or London, you know, reading through your bio? Do you have to adjust for those different audiences and sensibilities?
Yeah, it's different levels of drunk. The cruise ship being at the highest of that of architecture. Yeah, it's funny because even when I was working on the cruise ships, we would come out of a few different cities, but out of New York, even the crowds out of New York, had they been in New York at a club, they would have been a very different audience. But at sea, they're just a different audience entirely. Same people, different context. So you really learn to read different audiences. And London, again, quite different, and the things that people will laugh at are quite different. And you kind of learn and gauge that pretty quickly, for better or worse. You realize, ooh, the way that I approach comedy is not going to work for this audience. I have to switch it up. But those cruise ship audiences would be funny. There was one of the entertainers, she was fantastic, a blues singer, and she would always, at one point during her show, she's like, you want to get up and walk away? You can. It's your cruise. And that really defined cruise ship audiences for us, because they can leave at any time. They can do whatever they want. They are on ultimate, like, luxury brain. So you just have to give them lots of treats every minute.
All right, we only got a couple of seconds left here. If companies, organizations want to reach out to the Second City and figure out a way to put their company through this, I can't recommend it enough. It was just, I've gone to a lot of retreats or whatever you want to call it. This day went by like a flash. It was fun. It was interactive. We've got to have more fun with people that we are all in different markets. We see each other, but we don't really get to do that face-to-face time. How do companies find out about this? What's the best place? I would assume the website, right?
SecondCityWorks.com. You can look us up, or you can find us off of the Second City website itself.
All right. Andy, thanks for Tuesday, and we appreciate you getting up very early on the West Coast to be with us this morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. He was one of our, I don't know if you want to call him facilitators. By the way, he is also the After Dark Award-winning composer of Band Geeks, a halftime musical, which he also directed. And his solo show is called Sybil. you can follow that a little bit more in depth if you'd like. And it was they were so great. They're just great communicators. And then great sort of purveyors of understanding communication and breaking it down. Sometimes, you know, people have a hard time sort of, you can do it or not do it, or you feel comfortable doing it or not doing it. They really did do a good job of not only having you go through these exercises right. and routines, but physically breaking it down and what it means. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, this wasn't like Zig Ziglar.
No. But it is interesting whenever you talk about how to, like, lead, like when you're having this one-word conversation, like how can we keep this going?
Or the idea that you would be an A or a B or a C, and mm-hmm. those were all sort of personality types.
Yes.
Like you would get divided up into threes for an exercise, and somebody had to be an A, somebody had to be, somebody had to C, right? A's always the guy or the gal go, oh, yeah, I'm first. Yes. You know, C's always the one going, okay, whatever works for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and then you'd switch that around. And they described the late night show at the Second City Improv. Like the people that wanted to get into the first show but couldn't get in, then had to spend 3 hours drinking to wait for the other one. And how that crowd is a whole different crowd than the 7 p.m. show. And then you just walk those hallways and look at all the pictures of all the people. And then you look at all the young kids that were around us on Tuesday that were just filtering in and out of the building. You wonder who's next, right?
Yep.
Who will be the next?
You do wonder, you know.
Saturday Night Live.
You mentioned about people being kind of introverts. Went to a high school with a guy really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He got the perfect ACT score. I mean, really quiet. Never spoke. Almost mm-hmm. like he was afraid to speak. He is a groundling now in
yeah.
L.A. I mean, who knew he would be a comedian?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing with the training, which is, I think, the same thing for a police officer or a member of whatever. I mean, you do something over and over and over, and they talked about having stage fright every time they go out there. You know, that never goes away. But the training, just you fall back on the instinct, and that's why you do it over and over and over and over. It was fun. Now, you know me. I'm not generally in here on a Thursday spending a half hour about what a great time we had.
You had it at a corporate retreat. Yeah, no. So it must have been good.
It was. I just thought it was a really different way to spend some quality time and learn a little bit about each other and yourself. So if you're interested out there, I would highly recommend it as a company. Better than, like, you know, falling back into each other's arms, climbing a tree.
Trust falls. No thanks. Wouldn't trust anybody around here to catch me anyway.
I don't know why you feel that way. We'll be back tomorrow bright and early, 6 a.m. If you missed the show, podcasts are available. We'll see you tomorrow.
Get your news, weather, and...